Well, Chris, this is the third year of the Women's Super League, and I suppose maybe if we go back a couple of years, this Super League was an amalgamation of Donegal and Inishowen coming together, really to, I suppose, take a grip and a handle of things and the direction that Donegal football has been going. As you go into a third year, are you content with how the league has developed over the last number of years?
Yeah, it's been fantastic, Oisin. Like, as you say at the start, I suppose the two leagues, the Donegal Women's League and the Inishowen Ladies League, were probably just struggling for participating numbers, and were probably in danger maybe of not being able to go forward into another season back in 2017. So the natural progression from that was to merge the two, and with relative ease, it has to be said, it came into being for the start of the 2017 series. It's given a bit of freshness, new clubs, new teams, sort of new opposition, and they're still, even now as we enter the third year of it, there's still a fairly new feel to the league, and it's been a fantastic thing just in terms of opening out the whole thing, because, you know, even if you look at both leagues, they were competing with maybe four or five teams maximum for a couple of seasons. The thing was in danger of becoming very, very stale, and teams were sort of, I suppose, for want of a better term, they were getting sick looking at each other week in, week out. So now we're looking at a seven-team Northwest Women's Super League for 2019, and if it's anything like the last 2 years, it's going to be pretty competitive.
There's a couple of teams that have joined, but it's hard to keep them all. There's a couple of teams stepped away as well, Chris.
Yeah, I suppose unfortunately the league has lost Cairndona and Mulville last season. Both it must be said were competing last year with very, very young teams, and I suppose results going how they were going, they sort of lost heart in it coming near the end of the season. But hopes are no high in both camps that they can be resurrected for 2020. Both of them doing a lot of work at underage level. I know from speaking in recent weeks to Raymond Dougal down at Mulville, they're sort of starting again with an underage team and hopefully coming on board. But you're right, we've got two new teams this year. Kildaff have joined for the first time in Super League. I know in the past they've competed in the Inishowen League. And Swally Rovers back after a one-year absence. They were in this league in 2017, stepped away in 2018, and probably, I think maybe admittedly themselves, probably feel they should and could have gone in last year. But Swally, good to see them back in the Super League again, as with Kildaff. So two new teams there to add a wee bit of freshness and a wee bit of newness to it in 2019.
We've seen Allies, of course, won the opening two seasons. They're going for three in a row. They'll have the favourites tag when things get up and running next weekend.
Yeah, they will, of course. I mean, John Doherty's done fantastic work down at Allies. They absolutely swept the boards the first year, 2017. They strengthened a wee bit again last year. And although they lost Michelle McDade, their top scorer from 2017, on the sort of eve of the season to Science Swifts. But looking at the makeup of the Allies squad and looking at what they've done over the last couple of years, they certainly would be the fancy team, although the margins were narrowed somewhat in 2018. You're right, the name of Ellis Celtic will still be at the top of the bookies blackboards going into this year.
The other teams involved, we've got Greencastle, Fannage United, Lagan Harpson, of course, your own side, Bunnagee United. And I think it's fair to say Greencastle, after getting to the under-18 FAI Cup final, will be seen as a threat. And given that a lot of players, key players you could call them, I suppose, Chris, have been moving between clubs, it's going to make things really interesting as well.
Yeah, I suppose Greencastle carried the flag unbelievably well in that under-18 Cup. They went to the final. I know Paddy Keyes was working off a fairly small squad in comparison to the Dublin clubs and the Cork clubs and that. And they went on and won it fairly comprehensively, it must be said. They had great victories in quarter, semi and final. But they have lost in recent weeks and months. Kerry Brown, their top scorer from last year's Super League, has gone on to Science Swifts. Megan Havlin's playing with the Donegal side in the under-17 National League. And in recent weeks as well, Kate McClenaghan and Shannon McDonald have joined the Donegal Senior GA panel. So it remains to be seen there, the makeup of the Greencastle squad. But knowing them and seeing them as we've seen them the last couple of years, they're always, always competitive and always right up there. I mean, it was a four-horse race for much of the way last year between Bunnagee, Greencastle, Fannad, who were in their first campaign last year, and Ellis, who pulled away in the last couple of weeks. They beat ourselves, Bunnagee, on the second last day of the season up in Bunnagee to clinch the title. So, you know, if last season's title race was anything to go by, hopefully this year because it sort of got people talking. Actually, in the first year, at least sort of ran away with it a small bit. But last year, it got people talking because it was so close for so long. So hopefully to keep the interest going, it's, you know, that we can have a couple of competitive teams and can push Illies again this year.
Yeah, there's a few cups up for grabs as well this year. There's three, is it, Chris, along with the league. So there's a lot of action, league and cup wise to come.
Yeah, there's a lot of silver to play for. All our teams go into the Ulster Cup as well, and each of the leagues, and Shone have ran a very good senior cup themselves, and that's back up and running this year. The Donegal Women's League didn't run a senior cup last year, but following the entry of Swally Rovers, that's going to be back in the menu again. Of course, there's a couple of our teams will be hoping for a run in the FEA Intermediate Cup to draw for. That was actually made this weekend. Elise have been drawn at home to Fannad in round two for that. The teams up here get a bye from round one. So they meet in round two, and the winners of that will join Bunnagee United and going into the round three draw, which takes place in late June.
We'll just touch on the Donegal under-17 side. Chris, you mentioned them earlier in the piece, and they played three games in the National League. Unfortunately, they've lost three matches, and I suppose when you go up to that level and you're taking on sides from the rest of the country, it can be difficult at the start, but it's all about learning and developing, so it is, and getting the first year under your belt.
Yeah, absolutely, and I suppose as well what it's doing, Oisin, it's also given Donegal as a name, and Donegal women's football as a brand and place on the national stage, and that's very, very important, because, you know, we have seen, and it's to Donegal's credit and the club's credit, the players that we've developed in recent years who've gone on to play internationally, who've gone on to play sort of on bigger stages. But it's very, very important, you know, we talk, and it's a great buzzword that the FEA use, you know, in terms of when they're talking about player development, they talk about the pathway. It's important that we keep that pathway going for players in Donegal and give them as big a platform on our own doorstep as we can. And although the team at the moment's gone through a difficult period, it's about learning, it's about gaining that experience. And, you know, hopefully, and I know we're maybe some way off it yet in Donegal of actually having a team in the Women's National League at senior level, but hopefully it's not too far off, and hopefully these girls and these teams coming through can keep developing, keep learning, because even if they're coming back to their own clubs, I know in Bunnagee we have a girl, Colleen Hume, who's in the Women's National League team at the moment, and other clubs like us as well. And you're hoping that your players come back all the better for that experience, and just coming back, having learned something and having competed at that level. And I suppose that's what this team's aiming to do.
Yeah, and I suppose the other target is finding another Tyler Toland or an Amber Barrett or a Roman McLaughlin that have all gone to the top in senior ladies football.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even, you know, if we look at those players you've mentioned, they've all come through at local level. I mean, a couple of years ago, Roma McLaughlin was playing for Greencastle, you know, against some of these players who compete in the Super League. And it's very, very important to sort of reinforce that. We look at Amy Boyle-Kiar as well, who was playing in this league for Lagan Harps a couple of seasons ago. You know, it's not too far away when Amber Barrett was playing for Lagan as well. So, you know, the hope is that players are coming through. And I think it's one thing that last year's Super League showed. And I've sort of seen it firsthand, I suppose, been lucky enough to be in the dugout myself and maybe taking a bigger view of the whole thing. You see the quality that's in the league, Oisin, and I think it's probably underrated by people outside it in terms of its quality. Looking through the Illies squad, you know, I mean, even looking at what John Doherty's added this winter, Nicole Gordon and Zoe Green. Nicole's coming in from Derry City. Zoe Green has worn Irish jerseys at underage, was a huge player for Fannad United last year. Going into what he has there, I mean, that squad alone, at least, not to mention what the rest of the clubs have coming, but it shows the quality, even though a lot of players have gone on to the likes of Derry, the likes of Sion, of course, Amber's up with Piemont, Roma's over in America, and also the players who've gone to play with the under-17s, that the quality within the Super League hasn't dimmed because of that, and I think that's to the credit of the clubs involved.
Okay then, Chris, exciting times ahead for the Women's Super League. We're all looking forward to what will be another entertaining third season. Thanks for joining us, Chris, and the best of luck with the campaign ahead.
Thanks, Oisin.